Welcome into this Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray, and recently I had the opportunity to attend an event with Cobra and Puma looking at their club offerings for 2018. It was a great chance to see what's in store from the company next year, but also got a chance to speak to two of their representatives in Bryson DeChambeau and Ricky Fowler. So we're putting together a bit of a combination podcast today, and we're going to start with Bryson DeChambeau, who talked about his 2017 season and what it's like still trying to get adjusted to the notion that he is a PGA Tour winner. Please be joined by PGA Tour winner, reigning John Deere Classic champion, Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson, have you had a chance to look back on your 2017 season? Basically, you had a great high at the John Deere. You had a couple of lows, a lot of in between. What's your takeaway from that season?
Well, my biggest takeaway, honestly, you know, a lot of influential and wise people have talked about how you learn most from your losses. And the biggest thing for me was missing 14 cuts in a row. And that was probably one of the lowest points in my life, of just being demoralized again and again. Everybody going, man, see, he's lost it. He doesn't have it. He's not a good player, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes even, you know, my coach and my parents struggling with me doing what I was doing. And but luckily enough, those are the closest people to me, and they were able to keep pushing me forward, saying, Bryson, you just got to keep doing it. You're going to figure it out.
How hard is it to tune that stuff out, some of the negativity?
Brutal. It's brutal, but it definitely grows you as a person. And that's one thing that I've learned is no matter what people say, the only thing that's going to make you change is you. You got to believe in yourself. And that's what I learned this year. Perseverance, dedication, and the ability to believe in myself at a higher level.
A lot of people look at that win you had at the Deer, but there had to have been a turning point before then.
Yeah, it was the Travelers.
Yeah.
Kind of went back to some swing thoughts in college that I had, and that really helped get my game kind of back on track. I started to move forward and progress forward with executing shots under the gun, under pressure, different wins, different lies, different situations. Kind of getting back to my college roots, you know, when I won the NCAA as a newest amateur. And slowly that's transitioned to kind of something else now, which has been awesome. I've been performing consistently. I can hit shots that I've never been able to hit under the gun, which is great. But the Travelers is really where it started. I made the cut there, and that was kind of okay, I know I can do this. I really know that this is what I want to do. And then I made the cut the next week, and I won.
And I remember talking to Jimmy Walker when he won the PGA. He pointed back to the Canadian Open a couple weeks before, the week before, and he said it's a top 20 or it's a top 25 or it's a made cut by a shot as opposed to a missed cut by one or two that really kind of tends
to learn a lot by playing the weekend. I can tell you that. that's for sure. The more weekends you play, the more you learn. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes. When you miss the cuts, you got no opportunity to learn for another 2 days.
How long did it take for the Deer win to sink in, or has it fully sunk in?
Not fully sunk in. Yeah. Absolutely not. I mean, it went straight over the British, and it was obviously cool. Everybody was saying, hey, great job. But it really hasn't sank in that I won a tour event this year. And given the fact that I missed 14 cuts in a row, I never thought I was going to win this last year. And then being able to push through and believe in myself and execute under the gun, hit that 7-iron to 12 feet and knock that putt in, pretty cool feeling. One that definitely made me believe that I can be a top contender for you know, being the best in the world one day.
And looking forward to this season, you've already gotten off to a good start. Three top 20s in the fall. How important is it for you to use the fall kind of as a springboard into next year? Now you're in Kapalua, you're going to get off to a quick start.
Right. I think that's a huge benefit to me. And now I can, like last year, for example, I couldn't really relax too much. First off, because I didn't know which events I was going to get into, but I didn't really get off to that great of a start. I missed a couple cuts and just struggling a little bit. But now that I've kind of got some status and I believe in myself at a higher level, and I think I'm 31 in FedEx Cup points.
But who's counting, right?
Who's counting, right? No, even not playing my best golf is pretty inspiring to me. So it's definitely going to make me work hard this offseason.
Are you at all surprised about the reception that the one-length irons have gotten over since you've been the poster boy for this?
Seeing what Cobra Puma has done in their engineering technology, I'm not that surprised, but yes. Looking back 2 years ago and talking to Mike going, you know, is this really going to be something for the amateur game that can be beneficial? We knew it would be, but we just didn't know if people would catch on. And seeing what it's done now, we definitely look at each other and go, man, I really can't believe this is happening now. But it is. It's changing the game. It's making people a lot better.
All right, so you enjoy the physics. You've got all the quantitative stuff that you have with golf. What do you do to get away from the game?
Well, I go spearfishing.
Spearfishing?
Yes, love spearfishing. People don't realize that I'm quite active off the golf course. I love slacklining. I love even just making food, cooking or whatever, but I love spearfishing. I love going off into a boat and, and going diving in the Bahamas and just catching lionfish.
All right, hold on. How does one get involved in spearfishing? That's the first time that someone says, here, just take this spear and go try and find
Yeah, well, what's funny is you get into the boat and they just give you a rod with a, like a slingshot sort of thing. And you're just like, all right, go catch some fish. That's all that they tell you. And you jump in with scuba, with snorkel, mm-hmm. snorkeling gear. Get in there, you're going under, and then you got to dive down 10 feet. You got to swim down 10 feet and you pull it back and you catch them and you go eat them that night. It's pretty fun. Unfortunately, when you miss, though, you got to go get it off the sea floor.
Right, you know? It's like tracking your own range balls.
Oh, it's terrible. So you got to go down 20 feet. You got to learn how to pressurize and go down there.
Is there any vector analysis underwater?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's light. I mean, yeah, obviously there's refraction of light through the. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with that. That's for another time.
All right, last one, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. All the mad scientist stuff, do you embrace it? Does it rub against you the wrong way when things aren't necessarily going?
Yeah, sometimes it rubs against me, obviously, but there's always going to be naysayers in anything you do, no matter what. So for me, I try and take the best out of it and utilize it to my benefit.
Well, there you go. Bryson DeChambeau, thank you much for joining us. And
thank you.
Good luck in the 2018 season.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Next up, I also had the chance to talk to Ricky Fowler, fresh off a runner-up finish at the OHL Classic at Mayakoba. Ricky talked about what it was like for him recently at the President's Cup, as well as his opportunities to set some goals moving into what could be a big year for him in 2018. First off, welcome back from Mexico. It seemed like a productive and fun week.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was nice to come off of a little bit of a break, not playing a whole lot. Got to kind of travel the country a little bit, going to my homecoming at Oklahoma State, got to go to Napa, have some good wine, went to my girlfriend Allison's homecoming in Berkeley, to mm-hmm. Scottsdale and back. And I think I played 5 rounds of golf from President's Cup leading up to the tournament. So it was nice to be refreshed, ready to go play. And man, Mayakoba's a sweet spot.
It's a good little spot to hang out. How much thought for you went into the plan of skipping the Asia events, passing up some lucrative purses and things like that, and then deciding to add Mayakoba? Kind of an unconventional approach to the fall schedule, but certainly one that you feel like is going to pay off down the rest of the season.
Yeah, I just think it was kind of a good time to get some sort of an off season, or not necessarily that we're getting a whole lot of free time to just sit at home. Like I said, with traveling to being home for the holidays, there's still
even
stuff
when you're
going
off
on.
You're traveling.
Yeah, yeah, even when you're off, you're still hopping around, but just not playing as much. So I think this was really the first time that made sense, the first time we've actually been able to do it. I feel like every year there's been some sort of traveling abroad mm-hmm. in the fall. So to be able to stay inside the U.S. or North America, include Mexico. So
It's a direct flight.
It was 1:30 there from South Florida, so it's close enough. Yeah. It made it to where, not doing any of the long trips. Those tournaments are great. A lot of good world ranking points. Obviously, some great purses you're playing against. In China, at Shanghai, you're playing against an amazing field in the WGC. But, you got to pick and choose your battles sometimes as far as, it's nice to get some time at home or travel a little bit and mm-hmm. have some free time. The meat of our season really being, you have to really look at kind of the June to September. It's really, obviously starting in the January time. Augusta's pretty special in April, but the jam-packed part of it being that June to, like I said, September. And with next year, Ryder Cup overseas, and then this year with leading up to playoffs, President's Cup, I just felt like it was a nice time to relax, get things going really in January and make sure we can pick up right where we left off.
Is it a shock to your system when I tell you this is your 9th season on tour?
No, I'm still in single digits. I'm well aware of where I'm at, but it's been fun. It's gone very quickly.
Is there any adjustment of, I don't know about goals, but just perception where you feel like there's got to be some point where you wake up and you're not a rookie, or you're not in your first couple of years on tour, and you realize that you're now very much entrenched in the veteran status?
Yeah, I think especially once you get to that double digit, you're for sure a vet. So I may still be trending that way.
You enjoy one last lap here?
Yeah, I guess one final season as a non-vet. It's really cool to be in a spot where, I'm able to help out some guys coming on tour, any guys coming for advice. It's fun to be in that role, I guess. I've always liked to, you know, be around guys that I could learn from, and to, you know, potentially be in a spot where guys maybe look to me to learn something. It's cool. It's special. I think that's all a part of, you know, being on tour and kind of handing down to the next generation. I enjoy it, so it's cool.
What was your personal highlight from the President's Cup at Liberty National?
My personal highlight, I think when JT thanked me for hitting the fairway every time off the first tee.
It's a tricky little shot from down in that chamber that they built.
That's the hardest tee shot on the golf course, and for it being the first tee shot, especially when we had some of the windy conditions, it was not fun or easy. Being able to have the three presents there on the first tee, that was pretty cool. But I think getting to play with JT, one of my best friends out there, and to have some success, that was probably the highlight.
Where does a well-executed driver off the deck rank on most satisfying golf shots?
It's up there. I mean, I feel like I may do it more than I may hit that shot more than a lot of guys. I feel like I'm pretty good at it. I have confidence with it. But it is a very satisfying shot when you pull it off, as far as when you hit it solidly, because driver's not very easy to get the ball high enough on the face where you do get that solid feeling.
I'll let you go with a couple non-golf ones. What's your top sports event as a fan that you've attended?
Well, for me, growing up in action sports, growing up riding, racing, supercross or dirt bikes. So supercross for me is my favorite to be around, attend. I have a lot of good buddies that are still riding and racing. So for me, being back in that arena and being with the guys and watching them do their thing, that's my number one.
What's your go-to airplane snack? You got a cross-country flight.
Go-to airplane snack. Well, a lot of times just fruit and veggies.
Okay.
But I'm a big sunflower. I'm a big sunflower seed guy. So sunflower seeds end up being a big part of the flight.
And last one before I let you go, your girlfriend Allison, world-class pole vaulter. And have you ever pole vaulted yourself?
I have not attempted to pole vault yet.
Has she tried to convince you?
No. She's very conscious of making sure I stay healthy. It's not that she doesn't believe that I couldn't do well at attempting it. I've carried a pole.
Okay.
Obviously, we do you know, a lot of workouts together, from sprints and some work in the gym, to, you know, kind of crossing what she does, what I do in the gym. And so it's fun to have a good training partner, and I feel like I've helped her too, maybe having a training partner. But no immediate plans to attempt pole vaulting.
Okay, that's fair.
I'll stick to carrying the pole for now.
Okay, very good. Just carry the pole, hit the driver off the deck, and see how it works out for you. Well, Ricky Fowler, thank you much for joining us on this Golf Channel podcast. All the best in 2018.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That'll do it for this special combination edition of the Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Remember that for more info, you can subscribe through iTunes or Spotify, or visit golfchannel.com/podcast. We'll see you next time.